Good morning, Cowboys Nation. Welcome to another episode of the Writer's Block Podcast. I am your host, David Howman, coming to you on this Tuesday morning. And it is a great Tuesday morning to be a Cowboys fan because the Dallas Cowboys start their OTAs today. It's still a very long offseason. There's still a lot of time left to go before we really get into training camp and the thick of things. But OTAs are kind of the first real taste of seeing these guys since the season ended. And thankfully, it couldn't come soon enough because the way the Cowboys season ended was something we all want to forget, and hopefully most of us have already forgotten. But I'm joined by my two incredible co-hosts, Brandon Clements and Chris Holling. Chris, how excited or not excited are you for OTAs to start? I know you've kind of, the last few weeks, have been waffling between, like, you know, these offensive linemen are great. Like, we got some great guys. And also, you know, this team is terrible. Let's just blow it up and have one terrible year. So what are you looking for with OTA starting up today?
I think there's a couple position battles that are really interesting and intriguing. I think obviously the wide receiver three position battle is interesting. And me and Brandon differ on that. He thinks that Ryan Flournoy's got it in the bag. I think it's going to be a battle of the Jalens. And I think that, I think Kevontae Turpin should have a little bit of a say in that as well. I think he provides a lot of upside in that slot position. Or is that wide receiver three? But yeah, I think that that'll be an interesting, camp battle. I think that the offensive line, I think it's pretty set in stone what the offensive line is going to be, but it's going to be interesting to see rookie Cooper Beebe. He'll be playing some center reps, and it'll just be interesting to see how these young guys come in and how they compete for their position.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see Ryan Flournoy because, according to Brandon, he's already got his Hall of Fame bust, carved up, and the gold jacket is being fitted. So it's going to be interesting for sure to watch this wide receiver room, especially if, CeeDee Lamb, depending on how his presence is or is not with this offseason program, going to be plenty of reps for some of these guys, and they're going to need them. I do like your call out of Kevontae Turpin. I think people are overlooking him. He got a lot more involved on offense last year. And you would think, and some of the offensive coaches have already touched on the fact that, like, they're looking to get him even more involved now that he's had a full year of play, really truly playing the receiver position. So I wouldn't sleep on him. But Brandon, you are sleeping on Turpin, mostly just out of your love for Ryan Flournoy. What else are you looking for with these OTAs starting up?
I want to see if Brock Hoffman is going to steal thunder from Mr. Beebe. I mean, everybody's got this hype train, which, albeit that is a very, very great hype train because I'm on the train as well. Howman's getting the jersey, so we talked about that in the pre-show. So we know he's on the train, but Brock Hoffman's going to have another conversation about this whole thing, and I think he's preparing for quite a battle, and I think iron sharpens iron, as the old saying goes, and I'm looking forward to seeing Beebe versus Hoffman. I do think Beebe is going to win out the gig, which means Hoffman is going to be a very quality depth player and a guy that's going to be in a reserve role. So if God forbid something, somebody gets nicked up, in the interior, Brock Hoffman could, step in there. And, TJ Bass is another name. I mean, let's see. We drafted a left tackle in Tyler Guyton, who's replacing the New York Jets' new left tackle, Tyron Smith. So Guyton's at the left tackle position. Tyler Smith is obviously going to stay at that high level. He's going to be a high level left guard for the Cowboys going forward. So TJ Bass is going to be the odd man out when it comes to the starting lineup, which also leads to me thinking Brock Hoffman, TJ Bass on the bench. That's not too bad as for a rotation of seven guys. I do think there's going to be an eighth guy that to be determined. There's going to be some rookies in there. Matt Wiletko, amongst others, are going to be in the conversation because obviously we know Zach Martin's going to be doing his thing, and then Terrence Steele. Hopefully, he has a bounce back season. So it's really, for me, it's about the up front on the offensive side, but also on the defensive side. I'm curious to see what's going to happen. What's going to happen with Mozzie Smith? Is he going to take a step forward? Is he going to take more steps backwards and get more of Cowboys Nation riled up about that? That first round pick that maybe a lot of fans are very, I guess, pessimistic about the chances of it being a hit. So, I'm waiting to see how Mazi does. Overshown's going to be, in the picture. I mean, obviously, he's coming back from the ACL. And, all these different rookies, Leofau, just to name others. It's going to be very interesting, for me personally. But more specifically, I look forward to seeing not only the rookies that we drafted, but also the rookies that came in via the undrafted side of things. Because as we've all known over the years, the Dallas Cowboys are known to find a couple of those diamonds in that rough, known as the undrafted free agent market. So I'm curious to see how things are going to turn out and see what guys are going to be on the back end of the roster. And then, of course, as you alluded to, I'm looking forward to watching Ryan Flournoy put on a show. Ryan Flournoy is going to be a great player for the Dallas Cowboys. And that's no diss to Kevontae Turpin. I think at the end of the day, if they're going to keep five receivers, it's going to be one of the Jalens that's going to be out. I would lean Brooks over Tolbert. I think Tolbert, he's going to make the team. I still think. I think Jalen Brooks is going to be the odd man out because, for me, I already think Ryan Flournoy is a better player. No offense to Chris's boy, but that's just my take on it. But, I think it's going to be a battle for the Jalens. But I do think Turpin makes the team and stays on the team. He's too much of a weapon. He's super fast. I think he rounds out that top, that five receiver room. They may go six, but I do think it's going to be one of the Jalens that will be sitting on the sidelines. And then one other thing, I do think the reports that have been coming out from Tolzien, our quarterback coach, Dak and Trey Lance are working well together, and Dak is really taking him under his wing and showing Trey the way, so to speak, and Dak Prescott's a great mentor for Trey Lance. So if things break a certain way, like I've said all along, Trey Lance might be in the saddle for the Cowboys in 2025.
Sidestepping the Trey Lance propaganda for the podcast audience who's not watching this on YouTube, Brandon also has a sign up behind him that says in very large letters, "I hate Jalen Brooks." Chris, how do you feel about that?
Well, I was going to say that I see, I guess, where he's coming from, that maybe Flournoy, has some more physical traits and all these different things. But, what was the talk of camp last year, at least on the rookie side, that Jalen Brooks was really showing out and that he was really impressing Mike McCarthy? And he was a seventh round pick, but Mike McCarthy was raving about him, saying that he was really impressive. There were tons of clips coming out of him beating, some really talented corners down the field, like a Deron Bland and these different types of guys. So, to me, I think Jalen Brooks is just going to keep building and he's going to keep developing. And I think that he can really kind of fill in that Michael Gallup role. I see him as a 50-50 catch kind of guy. I see him as a reliable possession catch kind of guy. So I don't know. I think that he's going to make the team. I hope he makes the team. I'm a little biased, but I think Ryan Flournoy has to prove something before he can say he's better than Jalen Brooks as of right now, because Jalen Brooks caught every single pass that was thrown to him this past season. He has 100% catch rate. So I don't know. I think that's pretty impressive. May or may not it be what, 6-7 catches, but yeah.
But hey, he got the 100%. That's really all that matters. I think it'll be interesting to see all these different position battles.
Hold on 1 second though, really quick. I just want to, I know we're talking about camp here and Brooks doing all that. Yeah, Dennis Houston, he was like the talk of town. Like, he was like Dak's boy just 2 years ago. And what's he doing these days? Oh, he's not on the Cowboys, I don't think.
Hey, listen, Jalen looked pretty good in the reps that he had. Do you remember that crazy catch that he caught where, like, it got tipped off of it got tipped off to someone? I think it was in the Seahawks game, right? It went off the hands of someone. Yeah, it was like third down, and he dove and he saved the play or whatever. That was pretty awesome.
Hey, one catch for six. It's not bad.
I remember that because you tweeted about it, David. You're like, somewhere Chris is losing his mind right now. Oh, yeah.
Well, because I was writing like the weekly rookie report articles, and for that one, I was like, Jalen Brooks, technically, it was logged as, two targets, and he caught both of them, but really is one target, and he caught two passes.
Not two, exactly.
Which is impressive. But yeah, I was going to say real quick, on the competition at center, between Brock Hoffman and Cooper Beebe, it really reminds me of 2 years ago with Tyler Smith, where when we were in training camp in the preseason, you know, it was Tyler Smith's competing with Connor McGovern at left guard. And for a while, you know, neither of them were really pulling ahead. And there were rumblings that were coming out of like, the staff thinks Connor McGovern is doing better. Like, he might win the starting job. Of course, things happen where, Tyron Smith goes down. Tyler Smith moves out to left tackle. So they both got to play on the field anyway. But I think, you know, this is not necessarily a foregone conclusion that Cooper Beebe will be the starting center just because they drafted him, just because they planned for him to be the starting center. He's going to have to earn it. And Brock Hoffman is also the type of guy, you know, that every single coach that speaks about the offensive line mentions Brock Hoffman, and they love what he does, what he brings to the room. So it'll be really interesting to watch that. Besides OTAs, other news that happened since we last had our weekly get together and talking on the writer's block, the Cowboys schedule came out. It finally released. We had known last week this time, we knew that they were going to play the Browns in week one. That was pretty much it. Now we have the full schedule, and that, of course, leads us into the very low-hanging fruit, which is let's predict all the games and take our shot and see how the Cowboys are going to do. And this schedule this year for the Cowboys really breaks up nicely into really three segments. Before, it was very easy to just kind of cut everything into quarters because, you know, the NFL had an even number of games and it divided up nicely. Now they've just thrown all that into disarray with having 17 games. But the Cowboys schedule has worked out nicely where, they have their first six games and then they have their bye. And then they've got a stretch of some games going up to the Thanksgiving game, and then they finish out the year. So for this episode, we are going to be taking a look at each of those three stretches and given our predictions of where the Cowboys will be, what their record will be through those games. So we're going to start with those first six games, that first little stretch. And of course, we know that they start the season against the Browns in Cleveland. Then they get to go have their home opener against the Saints, home against the Ravens, which on a personal note, I'm going to be going to that game and I'm very excited for that one. Not so sure it'll be a fun one for me, yeah. But
yeah, I would have rather gone to the Saints game.
Yeah. But it'll be a fun time either way. Then they go on the road to play the Giants. It's crazy that it'll be, you know, almost a full month into the season without seeing them face the Giants, who they always seem to play, you know, right away. Then they get to go up to Pittsburgh and face the Steelers and then host the Lions. And I'm sure that nobody will ever mention the Dan Skipper, mm-hmm. Taylor Decker thing. So that'll be a fun week.
Oh, no.
But Chris, what will the Cowboys record be after these first six games? And what games are they winning? What games are they losing?
So I'm going to go week by week, but they're going to go – actually, no. I'll say the overall record at the end because I want to build the suspense. So yeah. Week one at Cleveland, that's an L. I'm sorry. I think that they're losing the season opener. I don't think the Browns match, you know, me personally. I don't think the Cowboys match up very well with the Cleveland Browns. I mean, and here's the thing. I'm not as worried on the defensive side of the ball in terms of stopping the run in these things because Nick Chubb did just suffer a gruesome injury, and we don't know how electric he'll be right off the bat in week one. I'm really concerned about the offense because, I mean, Myles Garrett's going to be going up against Tyler Guyton, and this Cleveland Browns defense is one of the best defenses in the NFL from the front seven to the secondary. And I don't think that the Cowboys are going to be able to establish a run game. It's going to put a lot of pressure on Dak Prescott. I don't think that their receivers, other than CeeDee Lamb, are going to be able to create a lot of separation. I could see that being a really frustrating opener for Cowboys fans. I think you're going to, you know, I could see that going to where it's maybe like a 20-10 type of game. I don't think it's going to be a very high scoring game either way, because I think Deshaun Watson is going to make a few mistakes. And, you know, I think that secondary of Trayvon Diggs or Deron Bland can come away with interception. But yeah, no, I have them losing week one. Week two against the Saints, I have that as a win. I'm not really worried about the Saints, to be honest. I'm not that worried about Derek Carr. I'm not that worried about their supporting cast. I think that that's a pretty easy win. Week three.
Can you even name part of their supporting cast? Because I feel like the Saints offense is just...
it's trash. Other than like Alvin Kamara, you have Taysom Hill, who's, you know, he's just a gadget man. You know, I mean, he can do everything, but I mean, like, they have Chris Olave. I mean, like, they have a couple weapons, but overall, I'm not too worried about the Saints. But who knows? Maybe that's the one that the Cowboys just aren't really, like maybe the Cowboys aren't that worried about the Saints, and that's the one that they end up dropping. The Baltimore Ravens, I have that as a loss simply because Cowboys' biggest struggle was really stopping the run. And I think that this is going to be the most dangerous running team in the NFL this upcoming season. I mean, imagine trying to stop Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry on a read option. I mean, you know, I mean, like, it's kind of like pick your poison. Like, you know, are you going to pick, you know, stopping Lamar Jackson or are you going to try and stop Derrick Henry? I mean, it's not going to work either way. And they have Zay Flowers and they have Mark Andrews. I mean, I'm not, you know, and that's not even including they have a really physical and tenacious defense as well. They have a really, you know, strong and, you know, fast front seven, which I think is going to cause issues. You know, me personally, I don't see Ezekiel Elliott averaging more than 3 yards a carry against that Baltimore Ravens defense. Same way I don't see him averaging more than 3 yards a carry against that Cleveland Browns, you know, defense. And this isn't a ton of hate on Ezekiel Elliott. It's just he's not that guy anymore. And I think that that's going to cause a lot of issues for the offense. So, yeah, so Ravens, I've lost. New York Giants, that's a win. I'm not worried about the New York Giants. It's cool that they got Malik Nabers, but at the end of the day, they still have Daniel Jones. I'm not worried about a team that has Daniel Jones as their starting quarterback heading into the season. At Pittsburgh Steelers, this is my one. This is the one that the Cowboys drop that they shouldn't drop. I think that the Cowboys lose at Pittsburgh, and I just think it's a Mike Tomlin coach team. They're a really good defense. They're a team that I just feel like for some reason the Cowboys won't be able to stop Najee Harris. It's just a gut feeling. I don't know. It's one of those where, like, they should be able to, but Najee's going to look like prime Barry Sanders in that game. He's going to look, you know, faster than he's been his entire career in that game. I don't know. I think realistically, if they get a lot of pressure on Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, I think that they should be okay. But I just think the Steelers will make things difficult on Dak. I think TJ Watt will get, Dak, you know, once or twice. I think it's going to make things difficult. And then I actually have them bouncing back and I have them beating the Lions. I know that the Lions are a much better team than the Steelers. I just think it's about matchups and it's about, you know, home versus away. I think that they drop the one to Pittsburgh, but then they give Cowboys fans something to be a little excited about and they beat the Lions, who just made the NFC Championship this past year. So I have them going 3-3 in the first six games. It's not necessarily the most exciting start, but I'm not, you know, I mean, they haven't given me any reason to really be much more confident than that. You know, especially against, this is a first 6 weeks that I think is pretty difficult. I think if you walk away 4-2, then that's a really good start to the season considering these opponents. I think 3-3, it's not anything to, you know, go crazy and, you know, lose your mind about. But yeah, I think 3-3, I think they're a 500 team after the first 6 weeks.
Well, thank you, Chris. I hate it.
Okay. Yeah.
Brandon, are you equally depressing with the 3-3 and losing to the Steelers, which, by the way, they haven't really, it's not been much of a rivalry lately, but it used to be like Cowboys Steelers was primetime, like just purebred hatred. What have you got for the Cowboys in the first 6 weeks?
Well, first and foremost, I'll keep it family friendly here, but on the same level, the Philadelphia Eagles, I just say, F the Steelers. I'll just leave it at that, naturally speaking. And, going to start week one. So Cleveland, that's going to be a tough game. I think it's going to be a close game. But I do think the Cowboys will play well enough to pull out a squeaker because, as Chris mentioned partially, Deshaun Watson's known to make mistakes. I mean, he learned how to do that very well at the at that Clemson school, Clemson Tigers.
He should have won two Heismans at Clemson. He got robbed both times. Derrick Henry didn't deserve the Heisman, and Lamar Jackson didn't deserve the Heisman. Deshaun Watson outperformed both of them.
Don't worry. I'm going to get to both of those guys in a little bit.
Right.
We'll get there.
All right.
But all jokes aside, no, Deshaun had a good college career, and he annoyed me as a Syracuse fan. But nevertheless, I do think, Deshaun lately, ever since all the off-the-field stuff and the injuries and everything, Deshaun is – I think he's not as good as he was with the Texans. I think he's a very turnover-prone player. He keeps both teams in it, and I think it's going to be via a Micah Parsons pressure that, you know, a ball just gets away from him, and you're going to see, like you mentioned, like a Deron Bland or Trayvon Diggs making a play. Or, heck, you know, maybe he's throwing to a tight end and we get a Maris Leofile situation there. That'd be a cool way to start off his career. But yeah, I think in this type of game, I think the Cowboys will, they'll edge it out. To me, it's going to be one of those, I would say like a 27-21 kind of game. I don't think it's super high scoring, but I think the defenses are going to give up enough because I can see Dak, you know, making some mistakes that are going to tick off Cowboys Nation. Deshaun, like I mentioned, he's prone to make mistakes. And here's what happens. You make mistakes, you leave your defense hanging with a short field to defend. Points are going to go on the board. It's nothing against the defenses. It's just a mere fact of they're probably going to get, you know, turnovers inside their own side of the field. So it's going to be, you know, you're going to see some points come via that. But again, I think I got 1-0 to start for the Cowboys. And then of course, you know, Cowboys are going to start really great, 2-0. New Orleans Saints, I mean, I'm not even worried about that game, so I'm just going to keep moving. No offense to the Houdat Nation. I just don't see much happening there. I mean, who they got? You know, I'm waving off corners to cover Chris Olave. I'm not really concerned.
Yeah, I think Houdat is literally what they ask when they look at their wide receiver depth chart.
Houdat and Houday are like the two dumbest like slogans. Like,
well, we're on that list, yeah. I guess too, but. No, I mean, I have a lot of respect for Alvin Kamara, and I do like Carr more than Holland does, but I just think the supporting cast is lacking. I just think the Cowboys are going to steamroll. This is going to be one of those games where it's going to be like, oh, here we go. We're back. We're going to win 14 games this year. It's just how it's going to be. And it's like, guys, it's the Saints. Take a chill pill. And then Baltimore, which is the day after my birthday, which obviously, you know, Saturday the 21st, don't forget to get your gifts for me. I like shiny toys that are really expensive. So you can hit me up on my at Icebreaker 21, and I can give you the whole breakdown. I like fancy cars, which I can't afford because I'm not rich. But yeah, nonetheless, it's going to be a sad birthday weekend for me because Baltimore with those two great guys that Chris Holland mentioned that are going to be in the same backfield, Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. I think this is going to be that game where Cowboys Nation is going to be like, well, we can't beat the teams that are really good, so we're gonna be 10-7, or you know whatever the case may be for this year. So it's gonna be like a peak and valley type situation because that's what we do on this in this world. Cowboys Nation's gonna be, you know, flying so high like Snoop Dogg and enjoying the New Orleans Saints win, and then they're gonna be sitting down low and all upset about this Baltimore Ravens loss. And here's the thing: I'm sorry that you're going to the game, Holloman. It'll be fun to watch as a football fan, but as a Cowboys fan, I'm not looking forward to it. I'm hoping I'm wrong. So what's that? 2-1, and then New York Giants. I mean, they're a joke. I mean, Daniel Jones. I'm so bad at saying that because Jones is so bad, anyways. So Daniel Jones is awful. They don't have Saquon. Like their team is, you know, I don't care. They're trash. It's just the way it is. And I think it's, you know, I don't care if it's in New York or not. It's in September in New York, so I don't care. It's going to be one of those games in the middle of the week, right after my birthday, where it's going to be, yep, we're back on track. We're just, you know, smoking that, you know, we're going to smoke that New York Giants team like they deserve. And then
I thought you were going to say something else. I'm not,
this is family friendly, so I'm just going to, you know, keep it family friendly for our
I thought
our
you were going to bring out like the young person lingo there for a second.
Oh, no.
We're smoking the Giants pack.
That's what I thought he was going to say.
Yeah, I don't. That's past my, I'm a little too old for that vocabulary. So I'll stick with what I know. Anyways.
No
so,
cap.
Cap. I know that one. I learned that from my nephews. That's how old I'm getting. So Pittsburgh, shout out to my buddy, Josh, one of my best friends. He's a huge Steelers fan. We grew up together here and I know he's going to the game. I will not be going to the game because I cannot watch those terrible towels fly around because I want to take all of them home with me and use them for, the restroom, so to speak, because those things are awful. They are terrible towels. But I do think
I wouldn't feel good. I've actually held one of them. I went to the Bills Steelers playoff game, and it was very rough material. I'd feel really bad for you if you used it for that.
I might have to go to the doctors afterwards.
I say you need some baby powder after that.
I got that. I got two kids, so I got that stuff laying around. But no, the Steelers, the Steelers, I think, again, TJ Watt's going to have his way. But I think the Steelers, I don't buy into the Russell Wilson situation. I feel like Justin Fields will be the starting quarterback by the end of the year. And I think this game right here will be one of those games where Steelers Nation will be like, man, we got to get Justin Fields in there because Russell Wilson kept throwing balls to Trayvon and Bland, and he's looking kind of bland those days in that game. So that means he's going to be out the door probably. So I think they're going to win that game. So what's that put me at? 4-1. And then Detroit, I mean, yes, it's in our dojo, but we know how things happened last time with the Lions. We won't go there. We already talked about it with who's in the game, who's not, who's eligible, all this crap. That's so far in the past. But you know what? The Lions are going to get the revenge, and Dan Campbell's going to, he's going to be biting ankles after the game, being all excited, drinking extra coffee after the game, and celebrating a win. And it's not a bad – so the two losses I have, Baltimore and Detroit, if Cowboys Nation is upset about those two losses, I'm sorry to break it to you, but those – if you're going to lose games, those are two games that I'm not upset about losing, because Baltimore and Detroit are both teams that I could see playing games late in the postseason, probably further than the Cowboys as we've seen as of late. But, Baltimore, Detroit, those are my two losses, 4-2. Great start, and we're on track for a good season ahead, no matter what Chris Hollins says about that 3-3 stuff he was throwing at us.
Yeah, and to your point, both of those teams, the Ravens and the Lions, were in their respective conference championship games last year, and the only teams that could stop them were the two that were in the Super Bowl. So they're clearly doing something right. First of all, Brandon, that whole breakdown, just you were – on another level, breaking out the fly so high like Snoop Dogg, and almost got the smoking on the Giants pack.
almost.
Yeah, it really just like hats off to you. High five there. I'm in agreement as to where they're going to be record wise at 4-2 after the first 6 weeks, but I disagree a little bit on where it comes from. I think they're losing in week one to Cleveland for the reasons that y'all have said. Like, Myles Garrett against Tyler Guyton in his NFL debut, I don't like that. The fact that the Cleveland Browns have one of the best rushing offenses with or without Nick Chubb against a brand new defense that their biggest issue has been stopping the run, especially against Shanahan-style offenses, which is what Kevin Stefanski runs in Cleveland. I just don't like that as a first-week matchup. And the fact that it's on the road, I like getting – the Cleveland road trip out of the way in week one, as opposed to middle of December, but I still think it'll be a loss. The Saints, I have the Cowboys winning that one. Although I will say the fact that neither of you are even slightly concerned about them almost makes me feel like I should be, because the Saints do have a very good defense and they've been very consistent with that defense. But they also, they've switched to the Shanahan style offense. They have, I think, Clint Kubiak is their new offensive coordinator this year, and they're going to be a run first team. And they have a guy in Alvin Kamara and a couple other guys that can run the ball. So this will be another good test of the Dallas run defense and how they're making adjustments and improvements, hopefully under Mike Zimmer. But I do think the fact that it's in Dallas makes this just a little bit easier. I think the defense should do well against Derek Carr when he has to drop back and pass. Saints offensive line is kind of a mess. I chalk that up as a win. The Ravens, it's going to be an easy Cowboys win. Obviously, we're all in agreement there. that's sarcasm, by the way. I did get Brandon to raise his eyebrow almost all the way off his head. I'm not
gullible. I never bought it.
I think that's a loss. Baltimore is just so good. Lamar Jackson is he's so hard to stop. Of course, the last time that these two teams faced each other, it was Mike McCarthy's first year, and it did not go well for the Cowboys in that one. I think the Cowboys probably stand a slightly better chance in this one, but I don't think much better. So that'll be a loss. Giants, I'm not worried about in the slightest, not in this game, not in general. I have zero faith in the Brian Daboll era at this point. They're pretty much in a tight spot where they're gonna have to either ride out the Daniel Jones contract or just kind of hit the reset button like we've been talking about with Dak and his contract situation, neither of which is a good deal for the Giants because they don't have a CeeDee Lamb, they don't have a Micah Parsons, they don't have all these other talented players. So Not worried about the Giants this year, not worried about the Giants next year for the foreseeable future. That's a win for them. Now, I do think that the Steelers will pose a bit of a challenge. I honestly see this one being like, you know, the winning team is like, it's like 14 to 12. There's like a really dumb safety that happens, like just a nasty game, bunch of field goals. Because again, you know, Tyler Guyton, this will be his fifth game as a left tackle.
It's a tough opening stretch for Tyler Guyton to his career.
Yeah,
he's going through the gauntlet early.
Welcome to the NFL.
Yeah,
and not only that, but I'm not a Russell Wilson stan at this point, but I am a Mike Tomlin guy, and Mike Tomlin knows how to win games, so that makes me nervous. I do have the Cowboys winning that game, but that's one where I'm kind of teetering at this point. It would not surprise me if the Steelers pulled that one out. And then against the Lions, that'll be a really good matchup right before going into the bye. Good opportunity for them to kind of show what they're made of against a really, really good team. And I think ultimately the Cowboys will win that game, just historically speaking. They've done well against the Jared Goff Lions. They've played them like this is like the fourth year in a row, I think. And they've won each and every one of them. And, you know, granted, this last one was by far the closest. But, you know, in each and every one of those, they've been able to have success against them. And so that's where I've got them. So, again, 4-2, that loss to Cleveland, that loss to Baltimore. AFC North is no joke. So, you know, if those are the two teams you're losing to, I'm not too terribly upset about it. That's going to be a really competitive division. And 4-2 after 6 weeks, pretty good spot to be. But then, of course, the Cowboys go into their bye. And when they come out of their bye, it's the game that some people will be anticipating. Personally, I will be dreading this one. It's at San Francisco against the 49ers. Another Sunday night game against the 49ers, which means we have to wait all day long and just have all the anxiety, all of the tension build up. I'm going to be sick by the time the game actually kicks off.
I'm actually glad that it's at night, because if it wasn't at night, like let's say that was a 1 o'clock game. I'm already going to spoil it now. I think the Cowboys are going to get beat down in this game, just like last year. If the Cowboys get beat down at a 1 o'clock game, I'm not going to want to watch the rest of the games that day. at least with it being at night, I can watch the games and be like, hey, you know, this is fun. I can focus on fantasy football. I can, you know, I can root for my players. But, you know, the only difference is I'll be going to bed upset and I'll be waking up upset. But still.
That's what I was going to say. It's like yeah. At night and they get beat down. Like you just it's like that meme of the guy just laying in bed.
Yeah, like
angry, staring up at the wall. Like if it's a noon game or even an afternoon game, like, and they get beat down, like, you know, you can decompress watching other teams and be like, yeah. Oh, that's what a functional franchise looks like.
Yeah, or watch another team get beat down and be like, okay, we're not.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't like Sunday night against a team that's probably going to crush us.
Yeah. But
Chris, since you already alluded to it,
yeah,
you have the 49ers doing what the 49ers do. But
yeah, I mean, I have no reason to assume that the Cowboys that this is the year that the Cowboys get over that 49ers hump. I drank the Kool-Aid. I thought last year they were going to do it. You know, I saw that they were close in that divisional round game. It came down to their offense not performing because their defense did really well. They only held the 49ers to 19 points in that playoff game, and then they came out and they lost by 32. And it was just awful. You had George Kittle, you know, taunting us with the whole t-shirt. You had, you know, I mean, at this point, it's not really a rivalry. I mean, I mean, like, obviously, historically, the 49ers and the Cowboys are the NFC rivalry, really. But, you know, recently, it hasn't felt that way. It's been the Cowboys kryptonite, you know, right there with the Packers. I see no reason for positivity or hoping that the 49ers have brought their players back. I thought that they brought in a couple of decent free agents. They had a pretty solid draft. Cowboys got worse. Moving on, the next week.
Real quick, because you mentioned the George Kittle shirt. It reminded me how, like, after that game and, like, you know, Micah Parsons went on his podcast and was like, oh, now it's personal.
Yeah.
I was like,
great timing.
Should have been personal. Yeah, it should have been personal after what they did to you the past two playoff games. You know,
Did you miss the last couple of years? That was all business. But now,
it's personal. Yeah.
Well, I guess he's going to get a chance to
maybe. I guess
what happens when you make it personal.
Maybe. I guess so. The next week is at Atlanta. I think Atlanta is actually going to pose somewhat of an interesting challenge. I don't have the Cowboys losing. I think the Cowboys win that game. But, I mean, what really concerns me isn't the fact that they got Kirk Cousins, because the Cowboys have been pretty good against Kirk Cousins throughout his career. It's not the fact that they have a great wide receiver core. They brought in Darnell Mooney. They have Kyle Pitts, who, you know, I'm a big believer in still, even though his career hasn't panned out.
Oh, we know. Me too.
I still think that, you know, I mean, here's the thing. If Kyle Pitts isn't producing this year with the new head coach and Kirk Cousins, then I'll pump the brakes and I'll be like, okay, maybe he's not the guy I think he is. But
breaking to Dallas.
But, it's not that concerns me. It's actually Bijan Robinson, because, I'm sure that, I wanted him in Dallas, and I know that a lot of Cowboys fans did, and I think he even wanted to be in Dallas. So, I mean, yeah, I think he's going to, take it to the Cowboys run defense. So I think the Cowboys prevail in that one. Next week, you have the Eagles, the least favorite sports team on planet Earth. I think the Cowboys win that one. I think they take the first game. I think the Eagles, spoiler alert, I think the Eagles win the division. I don't think the Cowboys will be able to compete with them in the overall record. But, you know, Cowboys and Eagles typically split the series if it's not a really, really close sweep. So, yeah, I think Cowboys take the one in Dallas. So I got them winning that one. Houston next week, I have that as a loss. I think that the Houston Texans claim bragging rights as the best team in Texas this upcoming season, which hurts my soul to admit that. But we're going to see Diggs versus Diggs, which is exciting. That's kind of cool. You know, we got robbed of that last year, you know, with Trayvon's injury.
Hey, Chris, we literally got robbed.
We were. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, for sure. I mean, maybe that would have changed something. I don't think so, because James Cook was the one who had the best game of his football life. I don't know if James Cook has ever had a better game than that all the way back to his high school days. But, yeah. I think the Houston Texans have something really good building there. And, you know, I mean, me personally, I love what they did this offseason, because CJ Stroud is on a rookie contract, and I think that they see that and they're going to capitalize and they're going to make these aggressive moves. You know, they went out and traded for for Stephon Diggs, and they got Joe Mixon, and you know, I, me personally, I just think that they're gonna have a really good defense. I think they have a really good offense. I think that they win that game. Next week is at Washington, this is another one. I think the Cowboys lose the first game in Washington. Dan Quinn's first game against the Dallas Cowboys. I think he's got the recipe. I think he's going to put Dak under pressure throughout the game. The Cowboys will never have played Jaden Daniels at that point. I think Drake May will be the better professional quarterback, but I think Jaden Daniels will be good. I think that they made a lot of good moves this offseason. Okay,
we got to roll the tape back on that, because I swear on draft night you were saying something like he's going to be a bust.
No. I'm not going to say he's a bust. But I don't think
we'll find the tape. Don't worry.
I was losing at Washington, and that's going to be one that upsets a lot of fans. But I think Dan Quinn gets his revenge against Mike McCarthy. You know, I mean, he went up against that offense a lot in practice. I think Mike McCarthy is very predictable. And I understand that, you know, the counter argument can be made that Mike McCarthy went against Dan Quinn a lot in practice. So, you know, it goes both ways. But I don't know. I got Washington. I think Washington takes that one. And, I'm willing to defend that one. Obviously, I hope I'm wrong on this. I don't want the Cowboys to lose that game. But that's just my prediction. And the New York Giants, I got bring out the brooms for that one. I'm not worried. That's a sweep. So, yeah. So, I got another 3-3 record through the next six games. So, the Cowboys are sitting at 6-6. Solid 500 record.
Sounds like Jason Garner.
through 12 games. It's not the start that we're looking for, but I do have some positive news in my next segment, because I think it'll get better for the Cowboys.
I mean, it kind of has to.
Chris.
Well, look, I'll go next, just because I need to respond to this Dan Quinn nonsense.
I'll be shocked if Dan Quinn doesn't take one game against Dallas next year. I'll be shocked.
I'll be shocked if he does.
I think he gets one.
And all due respect to Dan Quinn, mm-hmm. I think he could do very well in Washington in the long run. Not this first year. There's just a lot.
I think they have a really talented team. It wouldn't shock me if the Washington Commanders won about seven or eight games.
Which it wouldn't shock me if they won five.
I think if they won seven or eight games, they went in and they went out and brought in a lot of really good, or I'll say that they were very aggressive in free agency, which is smart because they had a lot of money and they were bad. So it makes sense, you know, for those kind of teams to be aggressive. I think that they'll make a big jump. And I don't know. I think that they have good pieces. So I think that I think that the Cowboys, and this is going to be a super hot take, and a lot of people are going to be upset about it. I've said this a couple times in our like little Slack chat, and I've said this and other things. I think the Cowboys will be competing with the Washington Commanders for second place, as opposed to the Cowboys competing with the Philadelphia Eagles for first place in the division. Because I just think that there's going to be a big separation between the Eagles and the Cowboys. And you know, this isn't me being an Eagles fan, because I just said they're my least favorite team in the world. But I just think that that's the reality of the situation that the Cowboys are in. And last year I was drinking the Kool-Aid. I was like 14-3. We're going out. We're going to win the Super Bowl. I was in. I was like, this team is set.
They broke you.
I know. I know. They shattered my trust after what they did in the wild card round and after the way they operated this offseason. And, you know, I don't just want to keep going back on how much I hate it. But
look, I get it. You know, watching Dak Prescott give up 40 plus points to Jordan Love.
It's not just that. It's not the fact that Dak sucked in that game, because he did. He sucked. Let's be real. He was not good in that game.
They scored a lot of points.
He was not good in that game.
That wasn't – Dak didn't follow
the defense. The Cowboys' defense sucked in that game too. The Cowboys as a whole just sucked. The receivers sucked. The defense was, game sucked.
The defense was by far the worst part of that game.
They were. But I will say as well that there were a couple stops where that defense got a couple stops, and then Dak Prescott just threw an interception. He threw a pick six. Like I feel like there's times where the Cowboys' defense kind of builds momentum a little bit, and then Dak just takes it all away and he throws a silly interception. And I think that happened in that game. I will say though, I still think that pass interference or that first interception was pass interference. They didn't call it, but despite that, everything went wrong. Mike McCarthy sucked. Dan Quinn sucked. The defense sucked. Everybody sucked in that game. But yeah, but
well, I was going to say, cause you said, I think Dan Quinn gets revenge on Mike McCarthy. I think he already got revenge when he rolled out that horrible game plan against a run-heavy Packers team and had no plan to stop the run. But anyway, I'll talk about the Commanders in a sec, but there's other games. It starts with the 49ers. My hot take, I really wanted to pick the Cowboys in this one, but I'm settling for a hot take that the Cowboys will actually just be competitive in that one. I think with the bye, I think especially if they beat the Lions, like they'll kind of get to that point of like, okay, we beat the Lions. Like, you know, we believe in ourselves. We've got a week to prepare for this team. Like they'll be well rested. The fact that, you know, cause a year ago when they were traveling out to San Francisco, it wasn't really like heavily reported on, but just the numbers of teams that travel west for night games, generally not that great for them, just from a time zone difference and the travel and everything. But with the bye week, it gives you some added flexibility as far as the travel aspect of it. Hopefully Mike McCarthy takes advantage of that. But also I just think they'll be more well-rested for that, but also battle-tested from the Lions. Again, I don't think they're actually going to win it just because, you know, it's the 49ers. I'm not going to believe it till I see it at this point. But then I think things do get good for them. I think they'll win the next week against Atlanta Falcons. I'm really excited for this game just because of Mike Zimmer facing Kirk Cousins. Everybody knows they didn't really love each other when they were together in Minnesota. And getting to face off against each other will just be fascinating. So I think that's a win ultimately for the Cowboys. Next one, at home against the Eagles, I have them winning that one. My general rule of thumb the last few years when doing predictions, I do a series split Cowboys and Eagles between home and away. I would love to say they're going to sweep them, but odds are they're going to split that series. So they'll win there. I think they're going to beat the Houston Texans. I think the Texans are, I don't want to say overrated, but because I think they're going to be a good team, but I think they're getting a little bit too much hype right now. Their offense,
I think they have the edge at the quarterback position.
I would disagree with you there, but
we have a whole podcast.
But even then, I mean, we've seen phenomenal rookie quarterbacks have a sophomore slump. And we've seen also with this Texans team specifically, their offense many, many times last year, just from a play calling standpoint, they were, you know, they either had moments where they got too cute or they were too committed to the run. They didn't let CJ Stroud do his thing. The defense had some good moments, but also was inconsistent at times. And I think just in general, this is a young team. And, you know, I think back to the Lions, how there was so much hype going into their second year. And then they weren't quite ready for the moment. I think there could be some level of that with the Texans as well. I think they're still a playoff caliber team and will either win their division or be competing for a wild card spot. But I think this is one where the Cowboys kind of hit their stride, beat the Texans, go into Washington, beat the fraud that is Dan Quinn. I'm kidding. I think they do win that, though, just because I don't think that the Commanders are a team that's ready to beat good teams just yet. I think
he outcoaches Mike McCarthy. I think the Cowboys have more talent.
I think there is zero chance he outcoaches Mike McCarthy because the
solution. I think that you could outcoach Mike McCarthy.
The solution for defense is easy. You run motion because they never practice for it. And you run the ball because they can't stop it. He does not, from a fundamental scheming standpoint, he does not run formations to stop the run.
I will say, just as a counterpoint to you real quick, I think that it's been proven now a couple of times that Dan Quinn wasn't able to do everything he wanted to do in Dallas because, I mean, it was just confirmed by Bobby Wagner that Dan Quinn tried to bring him to Dallas multiple times throughout his tenure there, and the Cowboys just weren't able to get the numbers right with Bobby Wagner. And I think Bobby Wagner makes that run defense considerably better. I know Bobby Wagner is not Bobby Wagner.
Bobby Wagner isn't Bobby Wagner. And also,
he's a lot better against the run than Marquise Bell is.
Even if 2014 Bobby Wagner walked through that door, he's still getting a 330-pound lineman blocking him because you have no defensive tackles in the A-gap.
Yep. 100%.
Here's the thing. I think everyone's talking about, oh, Mozzie didn't succeed because he was in Dan Quinn's system. Maybe Mozzie just isn't that good. Maybe the Cowboys drafted a bust.
And that could be it too. But when you're lining up in a wide nine with the A gap wide open, and it's against the Green Bay Packers, and they've had AJ Dillon run straight up the middle like five times in a row, and you still don't make a change. Doesn't matter if it's Mozzie Smith.
That's on Quinn.
It doesn't matter if it's Mozzie Smith or like peak. Like Jay Ratliff or Russell Maryland, and they're like, you're not stopping anybody when you're lining up like that. But
I understand that he had a bad game. Yeah, I'm about to say, I understand he had a bad game against the Packers.
We can save that when we get to week 12. But I think the Cowboys beat the Commanders. I think they go in on Thanksgiving and they beat the Giants. And they're just riding high at this point. That I have them going 5-1, weeks 8 through 13. Very
good.
That
puts you at 9-3. That's a good record.
Yeah, 9-3. Oh. And we are all going to be drinking the Kool-Aid and saying, man, this is our year.
I still won't.
And then
I got to the point where it has to be playoff success or I'm not believing. Like it's, which sucks because that's not how you want to watch football. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I'll be happy. I'll be excited, but like, I'm going to keep
my. That's how it is though. That's how we're programmed now. 12-5 all these years and
nothing
to show for it, but a sharp stick in the eye, essentially.
Yeah, and honestly, it's worse, too, because, I mean, if they do something, like let's say the Cowboys prove me wrong and Dak Prescott has an MVP caliber season and they go 12-5 and then they still don't do anything in the playoffs, then they're just repeating the cycle of having a bad first-round pick every single year and not having any playoff success to show for it.
Well, Brandon,
am I crazy? Sorry to be a Debbie Downer this episode, but, like...
You are.
I'm just trying to be realistic.
We're going to balance you out. Brandon, am I crazy for thinking 5-1 is a shot here? What do you have?
No, I mean, by my tally, I have 17-0. But no, I'm kidding. They're not going
straight. Correct. Second. Good answer.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, as a Cowboys fan, I'm always on that hype train where they're obviously – the statistics are they have a chance to win every single game. They do, but – I think 5-1 during this stretch, I think it's a little heavy for me. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be completely shocked there, but I'm not as high on that as you are, Hallman, but I'm not the pessimistic fella, Chris Holland, on this episode. So, you know, for me personally, just breaking it down, they're coming out of that bye week after, for me, a Detroit Lions loss, which gives them extra time to get some rest, get some, you know, get some guys healed up, because there's probably going to be, you know, nicks that are going to be happening throughout the season, because last time I checked, the NFL is a pretty physical sport. So there's going to be guys, some guys that are banged up. So gives them a week to rest. And it's also an extra week to prepare for that almighty San Francisco Niners team, not just offense, but their defense is really good. They do everything really good. They're a really good football team. They're going to be one of those contenders once again. And it doesn't hurt for them because they got a guy under contract that's not making $1 million this year. I think he's like $900,000. Brock Purdy can't even get a new contract right now. As much as the Niners want to get in that contract, they just can't because of the way the collective bargaining agreement has worked. Adam Schefter has noted that before on ESPN. So, you know, Brock Purdy could get something big after this year. So I think that window is potentially closing because they're going to have to move some players if they want to keep Brock Purdy, because Brock's going to get a big bag. But, yeah, I mean, in this case, I guess I'm drinking the Kool-Aid in this situation because I have the Niners getting the loss here from the Cowboys. I know it's going to be in California. I completely understand that. But I think the Cowboys are going to get punched in the mouth by Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions. They're going to, you know, lick their wounds. They're going to take a week to get situated. They're going to have a really good game plan because I trust Mike Zimmer and that defense especially to I wouldn't say stop the Niners juggernaut of an offense, but slow them down enough where the Cowboys can just outscore them, because I do think the quarterback position is where we're better. I don't care what anybody says. Dak Prescott is better than Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy, to me, he's a perfect system guy. I think he's done a hell of a job. No diss to him. But Dak Prescott, to me, is a better quarterback at this stage of the game. So,
I don't know. I was thinking so until I saw what he did in the Super Bowl. He looked ready for the moment in that first half.
In the Super Bowl that he lost?
He lost. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, did he win that
one? He lost that game because he was playing against Patrick Mahomes.
That's all. Okay. He's still a loser.
Hey, listen. Brock Purdy has owned Dak Prescott in his career so far. So
Brock Purdy at $900,000, Brock Purdy doesn't own anything. Okay. He's renting his locker at this point.
That is fair. But listen, he's about to get that payday. He's going to get that money though, whenever it comes up. So,
which means they're not going to be able to have the guys that they have on the team right now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true.
Their window's closing. So they're going to have to do. And I feel like we're going to, the Cowboys take, giving them a loss. It's going to be it's going to be a foreshadowing for things to come over the next few years, because Brock Purdy's going to get his bag, and the guys like Deebo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, all these great weapons. Guess what? You're paying Brock Purdy $45-50 million, depending on what they negotiate at that point. They can't keep all those guys, which means that little dynasty that they've had, you know, I mean, they haven't won the ship, but they've been in the contention, you know, the last few years. They're one of the best teams in the league to not win. And in some circles, they should have two rings at this point because of how good they've been and how good that team is. But the Niners, their downfall is going to start with the Dallas Cowboys this season. And I think the Cowboys are going to give them a little kick in the rear end. It's going to be a good old school 90s Niners Cowboys where they're going to get, there's going to be some punches and counter punches. But I think Dak Prescott is going to, you know, he's going to put on a great performance that's going to probably cause him to ask for a lot more money than Jerry Jones is going to pay him in the offseason. But at this point, that's cool because, hey, the Cowboys are going to beat the Niners. So that's where I'm at. Now, Atlanta, for me, they're an interesting case because of, like you mentioned, Hellman, the Kirk Cousins, the Mike Zimmer. You know, we can go through that storyline for a whole episode. That's just kind of how it goes. But I think that's going to be interesting. I think the Cowboys are going to be in a dogfight in that game. I think it's going to be a close game. But I do think it's going to be, as Lee Corso says, closer than the experts think, but I do think the Cowboys are going to pull it out. They're going to pull it out in Atlanta. And then Philadelphia is going to be coming back to Jerry's Palace, Jerry's World. I do think the Cowboys are going to lose that game at home. It's just one of those things. Hellman, you mentioned it. I think Chris mentioned it as well. There's going to be a split in there somewhere. I think it's here. I think the Cowboys are going to slip up here. And, Philly's, you know, I hate to say it because I think we all can agree and attest to, the Philadelphia Eagles are the team that we just, you know, ugh, every time we, you know, I just don't even like talking about them. I just, you know, it's just how it is. But they're a good football team. You know, Jalen Hurts is going to he's going to play well. They're going to do what they need to do. They're going to win this game, I think. And then the Cowboys are going to go on a little bit of a downtrend, because I am a believer in the Houston Texans. I'm a believer as much as J.J. Watt is thinking about coming back to playing some more football again, because that was the talk of the town over the last few weeks. J.J. Watt's trying to chase that ring, and obviously he sees some things, that maybe the rest of us or some of us are seeing, maybe some aren't. But the Texans are for real. They're on a rookie contract with C.J. Stroud, who I think is going to be in the next couple of years, he's going to be a top five quarterback. He's inching up there. He's a really good player. I liked him coming out of Ohio State, so I'm not surprised by that. Will Anderson's a heck of a player on the defensive side. They absolutely crushed that draft in 2023. So they're setting themselves up real nice, because they got two studs that are going to be one on the defensive side, one on the offensive side, under rookie contracts, which means they can pay some other guys to come there. D'Amico Ryan's one of the best coaches in the league right now. He's an up-and-coming coach, but the guy's a stud. He was a hell of a player in the NFL, hell of a player at Alabama, but he's a hell of a coach in the NFL. So I think the Texans, they're gonna win. They're not gonna own Dallas. They'll own them for this game. But the Cowboys will get back at them later on. I'm not really concerned about that. And then going into Washington, I'm not even that concerned about Washington. Dan Quinn's not gonna do a darn thing this year. Like I said, they're gonna win five games this year if they're lucky, and that's because Jaden Daniels is gonna do some miraculous stuff to look really good in a couple games and get them to four or five wins. That's about it. But that four or five ain't coming against the Cowboys, because they're going to get swept. Simple as that. And then let's see. New York, or is East Rutherford, New Jersey. They're not really a New York team. They play in Jersey. New York Giants, you're not really a New York team. You're in Jersey. But the Jersey Giants, as I like to call them, they're awful. I already mentioned it. They're trash. Daniel Jones and the rest of that crew. Again, we're never going to sleep on these teams, because you can lose any game to anybody, because it's a division game. It's still going to be a tough game in some aspects, but I do think that the Cowboys will come out on top. So I think that leaves me once again at 4-2. So not as optimistic as Hellman, but I'm not as pessimistic as Chris. You can throw me right smack dab in the middle. So right now I'm at 8-4. So I'm feeling pretty good right now.
Yeah, I like the optimism, even if you're not going to go as bonkers crazy as I am. But we're now heading into the home stretch, the after that Thanksgiving, where all of us will be kind of trying to work off the tryptophan. But the Cowboys have the rest of the season, and they're heading into December, the home stretch of the season. Brandon, we're going to stick with you. Take us home. How are the Cowboys finishing in your perspective?
Well, you mentioned tryptophan and, wearing that, getting that worn off from all the turkey festivities that we're going to be having and feasting on the New York Giants. I do think we're going to have a little bit of that, Turkey Day, Thanksgiving hangover that's going to roll into the first game of December on Monday Night Football against the Cincinnati Bengals. I think the Bengals are going to be up there as one of the premier teams in the NFL this year. I believe in Joe Burrow. I believe in Ja'Marr Chase. I know they don't have Joe Mixon there, but as long as Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow are working together, you can't count them out. I think the Cowboys, realistically speaking, they got a tough draw with this AFC North. That's a tough division from top to bottom. So the Cowboys got a tough draw with those four games this year. But I do think the Bengals are going to come out on top. I just trust Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase to do what they do, and that's just – throw, make plays, score touchdowns, put up a lot of points. I mean, that's what they do. So yeah, that's my loss. And then it's going to be a great wake up call where they're going to just kick the crap out of Carolina because they're a joke. They ain't doing anything.
I'll be there for that one.
I know you will. It'll be in your neck of the woods.
I wasn't able to be at the last one because my friend put me in a wedding. So I got to go to this one.
And here's the best part, man. So, you'll be able to get tickets at a very affordable price because
late in the season, Panthers won't be good. So
yeah, you'll get them for like $10 a pop, maybe $5.
I will say that my parents went to the one last year and they said it was a Cowboys home game. There was like probably 85% at worst Cowboys fans there.
Let's be honest. It doesn't matter where we go. America's team travels well. We're always going
to, especially when the Panthers are the worst team in the league and they don't have a first round pick to show for it. The fan interest in North Carolina last year was very low.
Hey, here's the thing. You know what? I know, like, you know, everybody talks about the Niners and the Steelers, for example, they travel well, but nobody travels like the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys Nation, shout out to all of us. You know, you know, we all love our Dallas Cowboys. We may have some wild takes. We all definitely have some wild takes, let's be honest. But we love our Dallas Cowboys from – and here's the thing. Let's be honest. I'm a New Yorker, and I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. You got Chris, who's a Carolina boy, Cowboys fan. You got Arizona Howman, you know, Cowboys fan. That speaks to the reach of the Dallas Cowboys. It's not – we're not from Fort Worth, Texas. We're not – you know, that's not where we're from. And that's why America's team just travels well. So no matter what, we're gonna be doing just fine in that area. I wouldn't say it's gonna be home games, for example, with the Pittsburgh Steelers, because that fan base is pretty darn good. But there's gonna be plenty of Cowboys fans, just like there were plenty of Cowboys fans in Buffalo this past year, as Chris can attest to. But you know, moving back,
that worked out well for them.
Yeah, it worked out. I mean, the weather sucked, but the chicken wings were really good. But you know, yeah, Carolina. You know, I'm not worried about that game. I'm also not worried about Baker Mayfield and those Buccaneers. I'm not a believer in them. I think they're going to be more like a 500 team this coming year. And you know what? You know, Baker just does what Baker does. He's going to make some mistakes. He's going to keep everybody in the game. And then more importantly, he's going to give the game away to the Cowboys. And, you know, the Cowboys will win that game. And then, yes, I already alluded to it earlier, Philadelphia Eagles. I have the series split. I went with the loss last time. I do think we're going to go into Philly in December. The weather's probably going to suck because we're in the Northeast. I'm a Northeast guy. I know how this weather works. The Cowboys will be just fine. It's going to be one of those games where Ezekiel Elliott's going to show flashes of what he used to be, and he's going to make Philadelphia fans. He's going to be doing a lot of this eating stuff during that game. So I do think the Cowboys will beat the Philadelphia Eagles late in December, right before we turn the calendar. The actual calendar to 2025. And then the first weekend, the first Sunday of January of 2025, we are playing versus the Commanders at home for our season finale in week 18. Come on. Dan Quinn ain't getting a dang thing from us this year, okay? That's it. It's not happening. So let me see. I'm doing my quick math here. Oh, wait a second. The Cowboys do what they've been doing. 12-5. Hey, I guess the math worked out for me. So 12-5. Cowboys are going to get to the playoffs and hopefully do something different. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, and zero respect for Dan Quinn, as it should be, since he left them for their division rival and also, you know, did absolutely nothing to fix a porous run defense over 3 years in Dallas. Chris, you have the floor.
So, you know, prior to us going live, I asked you to switch something. I've been going back and forth on the Cincinnati game, but I'm deciding to go with that the Cowboys win that game. It's funny. Ooh. I have the Cowboys. It's funny. I have them going 1-4 against the AFC North, and the one they win is against Joe Burrow.
I'll happily take that.
Yeah. I think that, like, I think the Cowboys match up decently well against Joe Burrow. I mean, it's at home, you know, which I think is huge because it's in December and, you know, not having to be in the cold in Cincinnati at that point. I think that's big for Dak Prescott and the offense. They don't really have a real, you know, prominent run game as of right now. And, you know, I think that's the Cowboys' weakness defensively. I think the Cowboys match up well against the Bengals when it comes to their offense. I mean, last time Jamar Chase went up against Trayvon Diggs, Diggs kind of locked them up. He didn't let Chase do anything. And now, you know, if Diggs doesn't travel, guess what? You also have Bland as well on the other side, who I think can hold his own against Chase as well. I think at that point, my hot take is that T. Higgins isn't even a Bengal at that point. I think he gets traded by that point. So, you know, I think that you're really just looking at
Where's he getting traded? Take your shot.
I'm going to say he ends up getting traded to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think that they're going to try and bring him back with Trevor Lawrence. Or the Carolina Panthers. Those are my two guesses, but probably the Jacksonville Jaguars. Anyway, so I think I was winning that. I think it'll be close. I think, you know, I don't think you can count out Joe Burrow. So I think it's a close game. I think that they whoop the Carolina Panthers. I think that they beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think that the Bucs kind of had a fluky kind of magical run last year. I'm not a big believer in them. I think that they won a really, really bad NFC South last season. And, you know, I don't think that they'll be able to repeat that. I think the Falcons are going to win the NFC South this upcoming year. So, yeah, I think they beat a deflated Bucs team because at that point they won't be in the running anymore. I think that they lose at Philadelphia because, you know, I had them splitting the series. And then I think that they do get their revenge on Dan Quinn in the final game of the season because, you know, I said that Dan Quinn's going to beat them in week 12. I think that Mike McCarthy makes the adjustments. And also, too, I don't think the Commanders are going to necessarily be contending to make the playoffs at that point. I think, like I said, I think at best they're probably an 8-win team at best right now. I think there's still some work to be done. So I think that the Cowboys will be fighting for a wild card spot at that point. So I have the Cowboys finishing or 5-1 in that or 4-1 in that stretch, which means that it gets better for them because, you know, I said 3-3 the last two stretches. I think that they, you know, I think the schedule lines up well for them at the end. With that said, that still puts me at 10-7 on the season, which would be the worst season in the last 4 years. But this is by far the worst team that the Cowboys have had in 4 years, in my opinion. So I think it equals out. And honestly, this is a and really looking at this, I think this is like best case scenario for the Cowboys. I think it's 10-7, 11-6. That's a good turnaround for the Cowboys. I'm sorry. The fact that the Cowboys could win 10 games this year and have Ezekiel Elliott as their starting running back. Not have a surefire wide receiver too. I know that Brandon Cooks is there. He's not that guy anymore. The fact that they're going to have a very young rookie-filled offensive line. I mean, Zach Martin's there. I'm not a believer in Terrence Steele. I think that was an awful contract when it happened, and it's still aging as a bad contract. I would have never signed that. I would have let him walk as far as I'm concerned. He cannot pass protect at all. He's a good run blocker, but I mean, like, they paid him pass-protecting money, and he's not a pass-protecting tackle. But besides the point, yeah, I listen, if the Cowboys finish 10-7, all things considered what they have on the roster, I think it's a decent year. I think they're a very top-heavy team. And I think if they finish 10-7, it's because their top-heavy guys stayed healthy. So I think that that's a good thing. I think if they get an injury, if they get, you know, if something bad happens, which I'm praying doesn't, because I don't want anyone to get hurt, especially, you know, players on my favorite team. I think that they could really struggle this year. And I don't think it's necessarily the worst thing, because I think a hard reset isn't necessarily the worst thing in the world for what the Cowboys could do for their future. But that's a whole other can of worms that I will not open this episode because we're already kind of running a little late. But yeah, no. So 10-7, and I think that's a pretty good season for the Cowboys. I don't think that they win a game in the playoffs. I think it's a wild card bounce again. And then at that point, I think that you're moving on from Mike McCarthy. Depending on the Dak Prescott deal, if that's done by then they're obviously going to keep him. If it's not signed yet, then I think it gets really interesting if they go 10-7 and they don't win a playoff game. And I think they move on from Mike Zimmer. I think that a lot of things change after next season.
Well, respectfully, I disagree on everything.
That's okay. It wouldn't be fun if we all were very happy about this season. Yeah. You know? There'd be no conversation.
I will say one, Brandon Cooks is still that guy. He's going to have 1,000-yard receiving year this season.
If he has 1,000-yard receiving, that
just
would
– you watch. And not only that.
I won't shave my eyebrows like the Ryan Flournoy thing because I don't think it's that preposterous with that statement. But that would be very impressive. Hey,
come on. Another thing, you keep saying Zeke's the starting running back. He's not going to be the starting running back. Rico's going to have more carries.
I'm not confident in Rico Dowdle being the starting running back.
Rico's going to have more carries. Both him and Zeke were, I think, in the top. I'm going to mess up the numbers now that I don't have it in front of me, but I wrote it in one of my articles. Both him and Zeke last year were in the top 45 or something among all running backs in success rate last year, which, I mean, if you think about it, you're with all the running backs that play a significant amount of snaps, top 45 is not that bad. Neither of them had heavy loads, but if you're splitting between them, Deuce Vaughn's going to have a role. Call him my shot now. He's going to be a part of this offense too.
I hope so.
The running game is going to be good. The Cowboys are going to have one of the better offensive lines. We're going to be talking about that by the time the season's
running back by committee.
My committee doesn't work if your committee isn't good. It's not a good running back committee.
Your running back committee is as good as your offensive line.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys are going to have
their offensive line is unproven. You have an unproven center. You have an unproven left tackle. You have a left guard that
he was an all-pro last year.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Okay. The left guard was amazing. I was trying to think about what the roster was. Yes. Tyler Smith is incredible. Zach Martin's incredible. Terrence Steele is not incredible. Cooper Beebe, unproven. Tyler Guyton, unproven. I can't just sit here and act like this is going to be the 2014 through 2016 offensive line just because we got some rookies up in here. They actually got to perform like a Tyron Smith. They have to perform like a Travis Frederick.
The thing is, when that offensive line was doing great, they still won nothing in the playoffs. They didn't go anywhere in the playoffs because they had bad coaching. Now they have a great coach in Mike McCarthy. And by the way, that brings me to my other point.
Mike McCarthy is a middle of the pack coach right now.
He got more rings than any of the other last few coaches.
That's not saying anything. That's not saying anything. Mike McCarthy.
Wait a second.
Winning Super Bowls don't count.
Yes. Obviously, winning a Super Bowl is impressive, but he won the Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, who carried him, and he's not coaching that way.
What has Aaron Rodgers done since he left? How many rings does he have since Mike McCarthy got out of there? Chris, I think you muted yourself, but
no. That's okay. I was getting upset. I unplugged my mic. I was gonna say he's still done more than what Mike McCarthy has done.
Hey, technically speaking,
he hasn't.
Hey, technically speaking, Jason Garrett's got two rings, so I think we can quiet that down. Okay.
Well, yeah. I was gonna say another thing about Mike McCarthy as it relates to what we are talking about, getting back to the topic. Mike McCarthy wins in December, he wins in January. I don't have the statistics pulled up, but it has been not a very, recently. Very long time.
Not playoff games.
It has been a very, very long time since he had a losing record in the final month and a half of the regular season. And you have to go back to like when he was with Green Bay, because he even had a winning record in December in his first year in Dallas when they kind of got hot towards the end of the year. So he wins in December. He closes the season out strong. He has a history of doing that, whether it's with Green Bay, whether it's with Dallas, whether Dak Prescott's even under center.
Mike McCarthy has had a better overall team for 2 or 3 years. Or these past 3-12-5 teams have been better teams than any team that Jason Garrett had as a head coach.
That's not true.
That's true. As an overall team, that 2014 Cowboys team and that 2016 Cowboys team –
Mike McCarthy hasn't had the same offensive line Jason Garrett had.
But the defense, not even close. Defense was never close to the defense that they've had as of late. Those defensive teams were not good.
Defense that can't stop the run no matter how many times you run at them?
They still led the league in a takeaway, so they were top two in sacks. They weren't doing any of that under Jason Garrett.
Stop the run.
Cool. What did it do for them?
What did it do for them in the playoffs either under Jason Garrett? They couldn't do anything either.
Exactly, because Jason Garrett had better teams and his lack of elite coaching.
The only argument for your – okay, so where's the better team? Because in that point, obviously the offensive line. I agree with that. The offensive line under Jason Garrett, better. The wide receiver, I still have prime Dez Bryant. 2014 Dez Bryant is better than last year's CeeDee Lamb, in my opinion. I know that statistically the stats don't back it up. But CeeDee Lamb was not drawing the attention that Dez Bryant was at the line of scrimmage, having two guys on him sometimes. No one has been more dominant in terms of just taking over ball games than Dez Bryant was in my lifetime as a Cowboys fan. You can shake your head all you want to. CeeDee Lamb does not require the attention of a defense the same way that prime Dez Bryant does.
Yes, he does.
DeMarco Murray, I will admit, DeMarco Murray is a better running back than what Mike McCarthy has had. 2016 Ezekiel Elliott is a better running back than what Mike McCarthy had. Defensively, they weren't close. And I will say, too, that at this point, I think that Dak and Tony Romo are pretty even, in my opinion, because neither of them have been successful in the playoffs. They both finished in the MVP finalists. I mean, I think they're about dead even. You know, I think they have the same playoff record throughout this amount of time if you compare their seasons. I mean, they've both been great regular season quarterbacks who failed in the postseason. So, I mean – At worst, it was close, but I think that, in my opinion, I don't think Jason Garrett ever had a team that was as well-rounded and who had a player on the defensive side of the ball who could wreck games the way that that Micah Parsons could, the way that Trayvon Diggs could, and the way that Deron Bland has been able to. I mean, those are three players who would have been the best player on the team at any of those years that or the best player on the defense of any of those years that Jason Garrett was the head coach.
Well, look, I'm going to get my predictions in because we've gone way off topic.
Yeah, we have gone off topic.
But I say all of this. I'm confident in the Cowboys. Everything you said negative about them, I disagree in the exact opposite, Chris. But I find it ironic because I actually have the Cowboys with the worst record of the three of us over this stretch from weeks 14 to 18. Granted, not by a significant margin. I have them going 3-2 to round out the year, but I have them losing to the Bengals. I don't like that matchup. Joe Burrow's tough to beat, and you know that's just going to be tough. I wouldn't be surprised if they did pull off that upset there, but I don't like the odds there. Panthers, I feel good about. That being said, I don't think it'll be a blowout. Same reason last year. The Bank of America Stadium where the Panthers play is a horrible, horrible playing surface, and especially playing in December like they are, it's going to be tough. So I think they win that, but it won't be a blowout. I think they beat the Buccaneers, probably a similar situation where it'll be a little bit tougher than they'd like, but they'll pull out the win. I said before, split the season series with the Eagles. With this being in Philly, being at the end of the year, I think it makes sense. It'll be tough weather. And that very well could be kind of the deciding game between these two teams for the NFC East as well. Week 18, really, I mean, these always depend on where you're at in the seeding. They could, if the Cowboys, you know, play their starters, which I'm assuming for this exercise that they will, Cowboys win that game. Obviously, if Cooper Rush or Trey Lance is playing that game, it's possible they lose. Not
with Trey Lance.
Comes down to the matchup. But I have them going 3-2, finishing that out, which again, that comes out to 12-5 as well. Recent history suggests that's a good record for them to be sitting at. I have them going 12-5. Brandon also has them going 12-5. Chris hates all of us and thinks that they're 10-7. 10-7 in their wildest dreams. That's the best case scenario. And that, you know,
I think I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt because I got them winning some games that could definitely go the other direction. So I have them losing some games that some people would argue as well. So I don't know.
So two of us think that they'll, you know, make it what, four straight seasons now with 12 wins.
They'll be fine. They'll be fine.
Chris is a little more pessimistic, but I always will stress it's May. Like there's gonna be these predictions will change, and who knows how things will even look by the time we get to training camp, let alone the start of the regular season. But of course, we will be here as always each week with the content, breaking down the Cowboys, leading up to all of that, all those shenanigans in the regular season. And we'll be, you know, providing content throughout the season as well. And we'll for sure be coming back to some of these takes that we unloaded in this episode and seeing who's right about who's that guy and who's not that guy. But until then, as always, the Writer's Block, Brandon Clemens, Chris Holling, David Howman, be sure to come back next week for another episode and all the fun that we have going through this off season. But until then, enjoy your week and remember, go Cowboys.